Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Instant gratification. Dopamine fiends addicted to the sensation. Short attention span need Addies for concentration. Overly dramatic and fucking impatient. Wasting our time posting highlights of our lives. Hiding imperfections we constantly put on a disguise. We lied to ourselves, this shit ain't good for our health. Chasing after wealth to show everyone else we worry about. No one in it is for ourselves. Live your fucking life.
Grab onto that.
Oh, sweet.
And set yourself up. Get yourself comfortable.
Oh, fucking shit.
Wipe. I thought you were going to wipe your brow. He's blowing his nose with a towel. We got a sick Hiro the Hero in the house.
Yo, what the dealio, man?
And I ain't talking about the good kind of sick either. So you're sick right now. So
man.
We got loads to discuss, dude. Me and Hiro are old friends. I guess you could say we came up in the business at exactly the same time.
Yeah, man.
The same moment. And before we get into what's going on with you right now, which I'm really excited to discuss, let's go way back. You're born and raised in Houston, Texas,
yeah,
correct?
H-Town, Houston, Texas.
You got one brother.
Southside. Yeah, my little bro Jamal, my big sister Kizzy. And, you know, we just work hard and grind. My little bro out there playing basketball. Well, he's teaching kids basketball now and doing real good. He got something called Fencing Fundamentals. Got shirts, shorts, kids, you know, they come in and he teaching them the game, man, and building up new stars.
The sport itself or the whole game, like
well,
the behind the scenes stuff as well?
The whole game, man. The sport itself, he coaching kids right now, getting them ready. And he got some stars building right now, yeah. So
right.
I see what he do. He put it on live on Instagram, and he making it look beautiful, you know.
And what's your sister doing? What's she up to?
My sister, oh, man, my big sister, she out there working. She nurse and all that stuff right there, doing her thing.
Honorable work.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Saving lives.
And your folks, tell me about them. What do they do?
Oh, my mom and dad, they chilling right now. They both, you know, getting older and kicking it.
Working
towards that retirement plan. My mama and daddy love them. Love y'all.
And you were obviously a pretty talented basketball player yourself as a kid, right? And I guess could have gone either way. What took you more in the music direction?
Well, yeah, I was playing ball. I'm good at basketball. No ego, but the music.
I'm just stating the facts.
Yeah, the music just caught me. And I had a bad attitude. I ain't want to listen to coaches. I ain't want to listen to nobody. I'm more a street ball game.
Was that the same in school? Did you have a problem with authority?
Oh, yeah, I had a problem with authority all the way through high school. I got kicked out of Milby High School because I was, just talking shit too much and all that. And so I got kicked out of that school, went to Chavez High School, graduated from there, played ball and all of those. And the music just got me, you know what I'm saying? I was making music during that whole time, but then it kind of really just...
So you were doing both in parallel, and then the music kind of overtook.
Yeah, when I realized,
sport.
Like, I ain't going to the NBA. You know what I'm saying? I realized my talent, though. I'm talented in both, but my music passion kind of took over, man. Like, I can make beats, I can rap, and people was feeling what I was doing. We did a talent show. I sampled La Bamba.
Yeah, Richie Valens.
Richie Valens. I sampled that and made it a rap song, and people was feeling it. I even got it played on a radio station in Houston, Mega 101. And
how old were you at that point?
Oh man, what, I was like 16, 17.
All right,
maybe.
Nice.
Yeah. Probably graduation time, that time, whatever age that is. And came a little, you know, got attention. And so I started making my little mixtapes doing that.
And you made three of them, right?
Yeah.
I've got them all.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're rare cuts. I got them. And you were doing stuff like Pantera. There was some Rancid on there, right? You were basically cutting up punk rock.
Because what I would do is I would sample the parts I thought were cool, like the breakdowns of the rock tracks. So I was like, oh, shit, somebody could rap to this. You know what I'm saying? And I took it, sampled it, put a little beat behind it. And it got hot on MySpace back in the day. MySpace was like a big site out here before Facebook.
Arctic Monkeys were the first big MySpace bands. I think their whole record deal off the back of basically the MySpace groundswell and hype.
Yeah.
And that was the same deal with you, as you kind of...
I kind of built up on MySpace, man, and people started digging me, you know, seeing what I was doing. And like I feel like I'd be ahead of my time sometimes. So I was kind of doing something that was so different. Almost people wasn't ready for it now.
Like, yeah, yeah. You know, well, there was that gap, I think, after bands like Rage Against the Machine and Cypress Hill were starting to wind down. There was definitely a void for a mixture of hip-hop and rock.
And the thing was, I was just sampling, so it was still kind of hip-hop influenced,
yep,
the way I was sampling it. But the more I got into rock, I started building up with the live instruments and all that. I came out to L.A., and started having the live instrumentation and getting more of a heavier sound and all of that, and what created to what I am now, you know? So it's not really just sampling the rock and roll, turning it into a hip-hop song. Now I'm making full-on rock tracks.
Live band business.
Yeah, man.
And your previous manager, Benji, he discovered you on MySpace,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
he was like,
me on MySpace.
Get out to L.A.
Yeah,
and let's get the balls rolling.
Yeah, let's get it rolling. And I was like, all right, cool. But see, that's the thing. You come out, you think you're going to be a star overnight. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm about to be a star. What? I'm going to L.A. Da-da-da.
How old are you then? Like 18, 19?
Yeah, I was what? Maybe 20, 21.
Right.
And
so still young, still fresh, still
young,
naive.
Fresh. Soulja Boy, Superman was the big song.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm about to be the next Soulja Boy or some shit. And I just learned the groundwork, man. It ain't easy. If it come easy like that, then it won't last long.
That's it. I think if you're an overnight runaway success, the only way to go from there is down.
Yes.
And I feel like it's better. It's harder, obviously, but I feel like it is better to do the long game, and you do gradual, long term, little bit at a time.
You build the groundwork up, you know what I'm saying, on a grassroots level. It might take long, but you get more respect.
Yeah.
And you get your chops,
you get your live chops, you get your studio chops.
Yeah, it's like I feel for a lot of the rappers now who come, like they make good songs, you know, but it's like so good sometimes that it almost hurts them.
Right.
Because then people move on to another good song and they don't really get to
pick
lay the groundwork
drop it
out.
Off
yeah,
next.
Man. Almost one hit wonder-ish. In this day and age, you can always find people. You know, you make a big song, people might mess with you for a long time, maybe.
What do you think about the state of rap today, now?
Today, it's
down with some
different. Because I don't want to sound like an old man.
I know, because you ain't.
You know what I'm saying?
But I know for you that Tupac and...
Yeah, see, I come from the Tupac, Biggie era, all of that. More lyrical, more spitting. You know, you can understand what people were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's
they were actually saying something.
And they were saying something. Now it's all mumble rap and all this kind of stuff. But you got cats like J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar and Drake and all of them. And they actually speaking about certain things, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you got your fly-by-night SoundCloud rappers.
You
know
I love
what I'm
it.
Saying? But the songs are good. They jam.
Yeah, they connect.
Whatever. It's what the kids do, so I can't even hate it.
In my Uber on the way here, I was doing an Uber pool with a family. It was a black woman and two kids. And there was, like, I can't remember the name of the station, but there was all these kind of right now R&B hits playing one after the other. And the kids knew every word, and they're singing along. Mm, they're only, like, 6 years old.
They know songs. I'm like, oh, when was that? When did that become the song?
You know?
They got a whole nother wave. And that's cool about technology now is because...
You can get anything.
You can start your own movement anywhere, you know what I'm saying? So that's the cool thing about today. Like me, when I started off, it was a little different. It was still building. So, you know, I didn't really get it and understand a lot of that
stuff. When we were coming up, it wasn't like Facebook was there. Instagram wasn't there.
Yeah, man.
Twitter was kind of in its infancy. And it wasn't as easy to build an online fan base and engage with them and give, like, drip feed them stuff and keep them, like, hooked.
Keep them hooked. Yeah, you're right about that, man. So, you know, I'm still old school in my ways of how about getting music because I like the mystery.
Yeah. I noticed that about you. You're not very prolific online. You're not living your life on the internet like a lot of people.
I like the mystery, but you know, you got to get with the time, so I try to do a little more. It's a little hard for me.
I see you've been doing some teasers for the debut single. I like it.
Yeah, my debut single, Bullet. Man, it's hard, bro. Like
I heard it. I love it.
It's like I feel it's almost like High Road, the hero coming back. Like before, I was High Road, the hero, D-A. Now it's changed to High Road, the hero, T-H-E.
Well, let's talk about that debut album, Birth School, Work Death, 2011. That was, well, I guess the combined sort of duo of my introduction to you was the guest spot you did on the Blackout track, Higher and Higher.
Yeah,
and that was funny because
my boy, shout out.
Sean commented on the picture that I put up of you last night.
Yeah, he just followed me too, man.
Yes.
Yeah, he was like, bro, what is that music you're making, man? That's insane.
Because I didn't know the Blackout at that point. I'd kind of come into Kerrang Radio with very little knowledge of what the rock sort of world had been putting out for the last 5 years, because I tapped out around that sort of post-hardcore emo era. I was out. I was like, I want to go listen to The Clash and just fucking go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, exactly.
So I got that gig on Kerrang and I had to catch up with what was going on musically. And the first single I ever played on the radio by The Blackout, obviously they've been around a while at this point, was Higher and Higher. And I was like, fuck, this is like some fucking Cypress Hill shit, like fucking hardcore heavy hit. And I didn't know that the rest of their stuff wasn't like that. And then obviously I did sort of the research into the song and found out that you guest spotted on that track.
Bro,
and that led on to so much stuff over in the UK, didn't
it? So much stuff, man. I thank them for that, because that brought a lot of, you know, a lot of fans my way. They were digging it. They were, you know, and actually looking at the lyrics and seeing what I was saying. Mm-hmm. Saw the little Cure shout out in there and all of that. And they really messed with me after that. Then I still got fans today from it who waiting for music now. Like, it's been a long hiatus, you know what I'm saying?
Hyro had a hiatus.
You're like, what happened to Hyro, man? I was tripping one time when I saw that. What happened to Hyro? I'm like, I'm right here. I'm fucking
People probably think that about Sean now, though. Now the Blackout have called it a day.
Yeah,
they're like, what's he doing? Where's he gone? It's like, I'm still here living.
I'm living still, man. You know, we doing our thing. No, so, I thank them for that, because that really did kind of spotlight me out there, and it got me to travel, you know, been to places I ain't never been before. And, bro, I loved them, and they loved me, man. It was insane.
They're good people, man.
Yeah.
So had you already done and released the debut album before doing that track with them? How did they come across you?
I don't even know how he found out about me, honestly. Maybe I'm tripping, I forget, but I just remember him. They hitting me up like, yo, this is hot, and talk to my old manager and all that, and it just turned into a tour situation,
and
he's like, you want to rap on this song? I was like, I'm down with that, cool, man. And from there, it just kind of went, bro. It's almost like a dream.
Yeah. I still play that debut album regularly, and there's songs on there like Sleeping Giants, Ghetto Ambience, fucking Beam Me Up, Scotty.
Yeah, bro.
Great mix of stuff.
That album is crazy. Ross Robinson produced it. You know, I had Paul from At The Drive-In, Mark and Cody from Blood Brothers, my boy Daniel from Idiot Pilot, who lives across the street from me right now.
Nice.
Crazy, bro. We got in the studio. Within 2 weeks, we made that album, bro, because it was just fire, insane. And people talk about what Ross does, because he likes to, you know, do crazy stuff with artists.
He creates a certain mood, right?
Yeah, it creates
a mood. To bring out that creative fire in you.
Yeah,
so what did he do to get it out of you guys?
Oh,
what was the vibe?
Bro, he just was like, he heard me get on the mic, and he was like, oh, man, just go, because he wanted to do a fast, he wanted to do, you know, other stuff, and I was like, oh shit. When I got on the mic, he was just like, oh man, just record, let's go, let's keep it going. I was like, all right, cool. And so that's why I love the raw, rugged feeling of that album, and it got a lot of respect from people too, so that really fucking excited me.
Jonathan Davis called it his favorite album of that year.
I know, man, insane. Shout out Jonathan Davis. That's insane. And he's doing something on an Aftershock Festival, what I'm about to be on in October.
I saw that. And Deftones are on that bill too. Deftones, obviously, there's a Chino connection as well.
Oh yeah, Chino the homie, man. He cool as hell.
Tell me about some times with Chino. You did some like DJ tours, did you do with him? Or was that just like after party stuff?
It was like after party stuff in Australia. It was me, Let Live, and Deftones. And I was doing my rap thing in Australia, you know, trying to test out my rap and stuff. It was after the whole album and everything. On tour with Let Live, they was rocking the stage, Deftones rocking the stage, and then after parties, Chino would DJ, I'd get on the mic and stuff like that, bro.
Right on.
Insane.
So what was he playing? What
kind
of stuff was he playing?
Oh, man, yeah, Chino he plays some stuff that, you know, like never heard before, like real cool music, and switch it into some hip-hop, and just put you on to new things that you ain't never heard of. Oh, wow, I'm not on this yet? Okay, let me get on this, you know? He'll take you to a whole another world, man.
So he can DJ. He's, like, legit.
Oh, no, he's legit. He knows what he's doing, man.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? He is basically like, bro, what, you ain't on this yet? You better get on it, bro. You ain't cool enough yet, then what? You know, we get you in that mood, bro.
You can hear such a mix of styles with Deftones as well, from, like, indie to hardcore to, like, pop.
Yeah.
And so he just switches it up like that and takes you on these kind of sonic journeys, does he?
Yeah, when I was talking to him, he was heavy on Tyler, the Creator.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
he was
digging that for a while and stuff like that. So, you know, bro, he's into everything, man, which is crazy, you know.
And you were just jumping on this and freestyling. Is that what
was
happening?
Oh, yeah, bro, I was just ready to get on the mic. All you got to do is give me the microphone and I'm going to rock it.
Yeah?
You know,
well, you're going right there. Let's go.
Yeah.
I need a beat. So after that album came out, you toured for a bit, and then obviously, I guess you broke up that band. When I last saw you, you were talking about going back to just straight up hip hop, and that was kind of what was going on at the time, right around 2015.
Yeah. I wanted to do was just straight hip hop. I just wanted to get my hip hop chops out there, get my vibe going on that, because I could rap, and I feel like I could rap better than a lot of these motherfuckers. So I just wanted to get it out there and get my sound going, producing, you know, see where that could take me for a while.
And were you doing all of that, just you, like everything?
Oh, producing, yeah, I do producing and everything, and I mess with my homie Q, my boy Mike. We was making some music and stuff like that, and then but I was I got down with Century Media. I signed with Century Media way before, so in the midst of that, I was just kind of keeping it fresh, making music because I knew I was about to drop a rock album. So I just rapping really just helps me keep my mind flowing.
Keeps that creative
writing.
Yeah, it
just keeps my creative. So if I rap about, you know, bitches, hoes, whatever, chains, jewelry, party, I just got to get that out.
Then you just
like
the rest of them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's easy to do, but it's just like almost like a warm-up exercise for me because I can do it.
Yep.
And I'm fucking from the hood, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I got that in me. I just want to get the shit out of me. It's hard to understand, but it's just like, fuck, you just got to talk your shit. You got to talk your mess. But when I get on these rock records, it's something about the rock music and the rock beats. You can't just say anything. You got to have a message.
It's got to count, right?
Yeah, man. It's something because you're playing the live instrumentation and I'm deep on energy and things like that. So the energy it presents when I hear a track. Shout out to Mitchell who produced my new album. The stuff he was making, we mixed a lot of the hip hop beats and put the rock guitar. And bro, when the music come on, I just know it's just powerful words I've got to say on that. You know what I'm saying? I just have to do that. And because I know it could come across a certain way. The music will make you feel a certain way and get you in that mode and that vibe. And I'm speaking about, you know, topics that I feel of that we should get on, you know? So
let's talk about some of the songs on the album, which obviously at this point nobody will be familiar with because no one's heard it.
Yeah.
I got a nice little upfront taster
the
other night. I took a picture of your set list, which is actually on my phone over there, so fuck it. I'm going to go off memory and test myself.
Yeah.
You know, well, hopefully you should.
So
it's your shit, right?
First song, Get the Fuck Up.
Get the Fuck Up. I mean, let's go from that because that for me is like the album opener. Like, that's a staple live track. Let's get this party started.
Yeah.
You go to the second song on that set list, Devil.
Devil.
And that's some raw shit. Tell me about what you're saying, what you're kind of like feeding off and trying to express.
Oh, man. So, Devil in Disguise is basically like, well, the song called Devil in Disguise. On the list, it was just Devil because we just fucking make it short.
Yeah, that's how you do.
Fuck, I'm sick. I'm coughing.
I better give this mic a good clean after
exactly,
this.
Yeah,
I'm going to be getting everyone I interview on this trip ill.
I feel
like I'm getting ill myself.
Yeah, who are you interviewing after? But I don't want their ass to get
Casey
sick.
Chaos, he can handle it.
Yeah, he's going to be like, that motherfucker Hyro made me sick. Fuck him. So the song is Devil in Disguise, and I'm just speaking about, you know, the two sides. You know, I'm getting stretched apart like they pulling me on both sides, the good and the evil. You know, I start off the words, what I say, the critics and writers, the killers and fighters, the fucking, I can't even remember my lyrics, I'm drinking, but that fucking, you know, I'm just playing both sides of the shit.
Inside yourself,
inside,
or is it
myself,
on
yourself?
I like it. All right.
Yeah, because it's the good and the evil. Like, they both live
inside.
There's
in all of us. I think that's what people miss in this day and age, right? To go on a tangent, and maybe you're with me on it, is a lot of people think that people are just purely good or purely bad.
Nah, man.
And the truth of it is that we've got a bit of both in all of us, and it's that fight inside ourselves to overcome and beat out the evil and try and be a good person.
Yeah,
that's
bro.
The struggle, isn't it?
And that's why the chorus, I'm saying, I'm fucked up inside. You know what I'm saying? Because it's always a battle inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a battle within yourself because you want to you see these material things you might want, but it's a fight in you to not do bad things to get those material things. So there's always a fight inside. So that track means a lot to me. And also that track features Monkey from Korn playing guitar.
That had a certain fucking low-end rumble sound that I thought there's something kind of... I'm not just saying that in hindsight. Bro, it's Monkey, on that track. So did he write that with you, the whole song, or did he just come in and do his thing?
No, he came in. He played, you know, he fucked around with the bass, fucked around with the guitar. My man Mitch messed with it. They got around on a lot of the stuff, bro, and Monkey did his thing, bro. When he did that drop, you know, the drop bass, whatever, bro, mm-hmm. I was just in shock, like, whoa, this song is fucking crazy, you know what I'm saying? And, bro, he the homie, man. He came through, bro. It was just weird, like, oh, shit, that's Monkey. I hit him up, like, hey, bro, I'm about to make an album. You want to rock with me? And he was like, sure, yeah, cool.
Straight up.
And then he came, and fucking Monkey is in the presence. You know what I'm saying? He got down, killed it. And then so I got on the mic. I was like, bro, I got to kill this song. Monkey's on this one, bro. And I killed the lyrics. He loved it. He was like, whoa, that's dope, man. So, yeah, it's fucking... That song right there is fire.
And that's going to be one of the singles, isn't it? Or are we not allowed to say that?
Oh,
is that all like shrouded in mystery at this stage?
Sure.
It will be. I want to ask you this before we carry on talking about some of the new stuff. Is in the time when you were, I guess, seemingly away, obviously you weren't, but to everyone who's kind of like, where have you been all this time? Did you at that point in time or across that period lose interest in the music industry in any way, shape or form? Or were you in it for the long haul no matter what the cost or the struggle?
Because
a month can seem like a year and a year can seem like a lifetime when you're not touring or, do you know what I mean, releasing music.
Nah, it's been a roller coaster ride up and down, like, man, should I be doing this and blah, blah, blah. But the music is inside me, man. I just got to make music. I have to. Everything around my situation and growing up always been toward the music and everything. And I always said, bro, it's music or bust. So I didn't go be a lawyer. I didn't go be a doctor. I didn't go do this extra stuff. I was like, I got to make music because this is what I want to do. And I'm not just saying I got to make music because I want people to party.
I want
people to turn up. I want people to get lit. I want to make music because I've got a message that I'm trying to put out there. I feel like that's what I was... made to do, whether I get it to fucking millions of people, whether I get it to a little bit of people, but I feel like that's what I gotta do. And so during that time, it was just the process of finding the right sound for me, you know what I'm saying?
Is that what a lot of it was? Were you on a journey of self-discovery?
Yeah,
of trying
self-discovery,
to
exactly.
What right. does my sound mean now? After I've done the rock stuff, I've done the hip-hop stuff, what's next?
Yes. And bro, and all of that came out within this album, bro. Like, this album is like, yeah, I wrote back.
And it's heavy. It's fucking, like, it's nasty heavy. Like,
yeah, like a lot of people, they didn't know what the hell I was doing, you know what I'm saying? But when I sent the album off to my lawyer, shout out Eric, my manager Burko, shout him out, my A&R Mike Gitter, shout him out, my man Don, label dude, shout him out.
And these
they
are people that have stuck by you and obviously believed in you and supported
you. They stuck by me for a long time and believed in me for a long time. You know, they seen me do the rap, like, what's Hiro doing, blah, blah, blah. And maybe he tripping on the rock. But then when they heard what I did, they was like, whoa. You know, they was digging it like crazy, man. And I told them, I said, bro, this is always my lane.
Yeah.
But rapping is just something, you know, I just got to do. You know, but rock is my lane. It's what I love. That's for me right there. You feel me? And I just like being different from people. There's nobody that sounds like me. No ego shit. But there's nobody that sounds like me. Nobody's doing what I'm doing. Because, like, when I make hip-hop, I can make that in 5 minutes. My album, you can't make that in 5 minutes.
No.
That takes time.
And like you say, I mean, I listen to all kinds of constantly, you know, released new music from the rock world of every sort of subgenre and pocket of it. And there's a real void at the moment for people with things to say, especially when the world is in such disarray.
Yeah.
And there's so much fucked up shit going on. So few bands are actually addressing a lot of these issues and talking about it and actually like making people think and switching people on. And
yeah.
Regardless of how you sound, I mean, the sound is so unique, but more than that, like a voice right now that people can get behind.
Oh, yeah.
Is so important, man. And so lacking.
And that's what I want to do, man. Be a voice people can get behind, be a voice people listen to. You know what I'm saying? I ain't Mr. Preacher Man or nothing like that, but these are my thoughts and my opinions and how I feel things should be.
check them out, see what you think, maybe apply them to your own.
Yeah, man, and I'm not taking no sides. It's just the side of justice, the side of the people.
Yeah.
That's the only side I'm taking, you know what I'm saying? And if you ain't with it, then fuck you.
It's interesting because the first album was a lot more party orientated and it was a bit more fun, wasn't it? And a bit more tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. And I like that about it, and that was obviously right for then because you were a young man and you were celebrating kind of newfound success and fucking expressing yourself.
It was all fun, you know what I'm saying?
It was all fun and games, wasn't it? Yeah, I mean, there was still that edge and there was that kind of like underlying darkness, but it didn't really come to the surface too often for the large part.
I was still in the shock of like, oh shit, I'm making a rock album. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm making a fucking real rock album, you know, as a rapper.
As you would be when you're working with Ross Robinson and you're getting introduced to people like Korn and Deftones who are digging your shit and you've loved their music.
Bro. And I never knew it was like a talent for the rock that I'm doing, bro. I never thought it was like a certain talent I had. But like I had some homies, you know, try to, you know, fuck around and just try to sing my song or whatever. And they're like, oh, how the fuck you scream like that? I'm like, whoa, what the fuck is that?
That's what I love about
different.
The other
I'm
night.
Like, whoa, is that something different? I ain't know that was like a thing.
There's some guttural roars coming out of you. I was watching you like as far away from you as I am now. Just
and
like
to hear that from you as a rock fan and stuff is like, that's amazing to me because I always looked at that. And people screaming, you know, like Chino and all these other guys. I'm like, man, that's dope as fuck. But people look at me like, oh, Hyro scream is a certain way, bro. That's fucking crazy. And, bro, I just be rapping. And the crazy thing is when I used to rap, they said I scream too much. You know, I'm too loud or whatever, you know. I'd have rap songs and people be like, oh, that's a dope-ass rock song. I'd be like, it's a rap song. What do you mean it's a rock song? So I seen where my lane was going. And like I said, my first album, like, it was fun. I'm still realizing, oh, shit, I'm making a rock album. This album is, I know this is me and I know what I'm doing. And, bro, it just came together so beautifully.
Dude, I can't wait to hear actual recordings. All I've heard was you at band practice, and that sounded tight enough.
Oh, bro, that like, live shit is sick. Right now I'm playing with my boy, Davey.
Let's talk about your band, because, I just met him last night. But tell us who you've got on drums, bass, and guitar.
Oh, man, I got Troy and Dave. Troy on drums, Dave on bass from a band called Varsity Week. I got my man Jeffy from Let Live. I met him on that tour with the Deftones.
That was a nice surprise seeing him.
I know, yeah, you
his
walked
guitar
in
on. I was like,
oh,
what?
Shit.
I know you did.
And, yeah, them dudes just rocking with me, and we building this thing up. Like, we in the process of just getting the set together and everything.
Yep.
And as you can see, the shit is insane. Mm-hmm. And you know, when people get a taste of it, they gonna trip out. And I know the homies over there where you at, everybody,
dude, they're ready, dude.
Like, whoa, Hyro, what?
It's been a long time coming.
I see, because I don't want to come back and my shit whack.
No,
it got to
that's
be
the
good.
Worst thing you could do, isn't it? Is taint like what people good. Liked about it in the first place and go, oh man,
yeah,
I wish
man.
I'd never fucking come to see him again, man. Just remember the good times. Remember
man.
The old days.
Remember the old
but,
days.
Dude, people are going to be blown away. As I said, I didn't know you were even doing that stuff again because we haven't spoken really since I was last over here.
Yeah.
And it was such a beautiful surprise to not only see you, as you say, in that lane again, but to be doing it with such conviction and such passion and such like integrity and intent.
Yeah,
like it's
bro.
There.
Yeah, bro. And I'm at practice. I'm rehearsing, but I feel that shit. And I'm still contained in the little studio room, so I can't get wild like I want to. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's why I work out and I do my stuff, because when I hit that stage, bro, it's going to get stupid.
Well, here's another thing I want to talk to you about, because what you've been doing a lot of over the last few years is fucking getting yourself in serious
shape.
And you do these videos that I watch. I mean, you know, I'll show you an old picture of us after this chat, and we're both there skinny and young. I've just gotten fat and you've just gotten ripped. And you're doing these things where you like pull yourself up like crazy.
Oh, muscle ups,
just
man. Yeah.
Ghetto workout routines, right? There's no gym membership bullshit. It's just let's go down Venice Beach and fucking pull some crazy
workout,
shit.
Man.
And the upper body strength that it must take to do some of that stuff.
Bro, it's insane.
It's mental.
Man. Yeah, bro. I'm on the fitness tip because I see myself as, you know, on stage. I always see myself on stage. I'm like, bro, I have to have the energy. I gotta have the look. And that's really why I love working out, because I feel like that's a complete star, a complete person, as you know, doing music or doing the rock thing and the way I want to do it and jumping around and having that vibe. So I always have said I'm gonna stay in shape, because I don't know what's gonna happen. So let me.
Yeah, you get
ready.
A call and go, right, we're gonna go on a 3-week tour.
Yes,
with
exactly.
such and with Prophets of Rage. Are you ready?
Yeah, and
you
I don't ever want
to just
the
put
the
your bag on and go,
thing.
I'm in.
Yeah,
yep.
I don't never want to get a crowd no bad show or nothing like that, so I got to keep my energy up and my vibe. Excuse me, you heard that burp?
You're excused.
Oh, man.
We're on the tall cans of Corona, which Hiro is allowed to enjoy because he works out all day. Yesterday, in fact. Was it yesterday I saw you?
Yeah,
but it feels like I've been here forever. So
Venice
your day
Beach.
Yesterday was Venice Beach, gym, and then rehearsal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all on.
Bro, I don't even know how to feel, bro. I was sore as fuck. Sore as fuck.
Let's go on to the third track on the set list. Something about the snake charm. What's that song called?
Oh, let the snake show cut the grass. Let the
I think that's my
show.
Jam.
It's basically like fucking call out these motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying? Let's call them out. Let it be known, bro, that you hate everything about them.
And you do exactly that.
Because I hate your fucking smile, motherfucker. I hate the way you talk, motherfucker. I'm just letting it be known.
He ain't talking about me, by the way, people.
Ah, no, man.
At least I hope not.
You listen to it, you probably know who I'm talking about and the situation and the time we in. You going to know who I'm talking about.
The gloves are off.
Yeah, man. You know, you listen to the song, you'll be like, okay, he talking about him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's raucous. And I think, again, like, people can go on Twitter and say, oh, I'm offended by this person or I have a problem with this person.
Yeah.
But that's not doing anything. Anyone can do that. Anyone can sit behind a screen or a phone
and talk shit
about anyone.
Toilet. Yeah, they can sit on the toilet and talk a bunch of shit.
Yeah,
you can sit on the toilet and holler at a girl. You can do anything.
It's crazy, isn't it? You never need to leave the toilet if you don't want to.
Yeah, you can sit on the toilet.
I mean, it's gonna get
model.
A bit smelly in there, but
yeah,
fucking
man, it would be smelly, but they ain't gonna smell the shit. Nah, but for real though, yeah, this
because someone can say, like, you could say it's important for me to have something to say and to say it on this album, but then not actually do that like so many people
yes,
do.
Yes,
some people go, yeah, we're taking on some really important issues with this album and, you know, we want to address this and we address that. And then you listen to the album and you're like,
they're not doing it.
You ain't really saying that much.
That's why you don't see me really talk too political or too crazy online.
Uh-huh.
On, you know, I don't say too many things because I'd rather spit it through my music. You feel it that way better. And you know that's what I'm about. Like, I can talk and write it or whatever, but that leads to just conversation, and then I'm that person outside of music now.
Yeah.
It's a whole different image you're gonna see of me outside of music. So I like to just put it in my music and let you vibe with the music. I got a lot of opinions on things, but I let you listen in my music. I don't want to just type it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like I'm typing it while a million other motherfuckers typing the shit. You know what I'm saying?
I'd rather say it. I disagree with that. And it's like, well, if you disagree with it, then you go and express your opinion on whatever you feel in a creative way.
In a creative way, yeah. I mean, when I put it in the music, I record it and put it. You going to scream at my song? You can fucking talk to my song. But if I type it on Twitter, I got you type it all day long, and then other people chime in and... If I'm putting it in my song, you can't talk to me.
I've got a beautiful image in my head right now of someone listening to that song in their bedroom, screaming it right back at you.
Yeah.
Well, I hate the fucking everything about you, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're going to be a lonely motherfucker.
And then we got a dialogue, sort of. Cheers, dude. It's fucking good to see you again, man. It's really good to see you.
Good to see you, brother.
I didn't even have a sip there.
Man.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm just going to move down the set list. Why not? Because that gives people a taster of this record.
Right.
So next up, we go down to...
Let the Snake Show lock, loaded, ready. That's one man against many. You know what I'm saying? Lock, loaded, ready. Shit could get messy. That's just me picturing myself almost like a ninja just fighting fucking tens of millions of people holding it down. You know, so that's how I feel sometimes with certain opinions, certain things. you might say something and everybody be against you, but you still got to be on your toes.
You got to stand your corner.
Yeah, it's one man against many, you know what I'm saying? And if I've got to do this fight on my own, I'll do it on my own. You get what I'm saying? You could roll with me or you could be against me, but I'm going to go out there and do what I'm supposed to do. You feel me?
Are you, like, I think there's two types of people for me who are creative, lyrical, sort of frontmen, commentators like yourself.
Yeah.
They're either super sociable, out all the time with loads of people, or they're a bit more lone wolf, head down,
yeah,
observing the world around them,
yeah,
documenting what they see.
That's me right there.
That's you right there, is it?
A lone wolf, you know, documenting what I see, that type of thing, yeah. Because I ain't really a person to be out with a bunch of people and do all this type of stuff. But
has that always been the way? Have you always been that kind of kid?
Yeah, I've always been like that, man. I mean, I'm a mixture, though, because, you know, at the same time, like I said, I'm from the hood. So that part's in me where I want to roll with the crew and
yeah,
I want to roll with the entourage and be with the homies. But, you know, I'm saying, a lot of times, you know, homies don't.
But that in itself wouldn't completely fulfill you.
Not at all, man, because I've got a message I'm trying to send. And even though, you know, I might ride for something, but other people might not ride with me on something. It's like if you was in a fight, I'm the type of person, I'm a fight for you. But if I fight and you don't fucking, you know, have my back, if some motherfucker
you ain't never fighting for me again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, bro. So I'm one of them kind of people. Bro. Yeah, I'm a loyal person. I'm some little too loyal at times, but I go by a certain G code, a certain rule book that I feel that we should rock with. You know, I just got my rules of what I think my life should go like.
Integrity,
and I stick with it. And some people don't do that, especially in this day and age, bro. Some people sell out for a bunch of bullshit, you know what I'm saying, and don't stick to with the integrity. And I ain't like that, man. So I think that makes you a lone wolf in a sense. You know
I think
what I'm
so
saying?
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that if you roll with a big group of friends, you're kind of just in that comfortable zone where you give a lot of leeway,
yeah,
because you know that that's your group, and without them, you're like, oh, well, I ain't going to be able to find another group of friends that easy, so
bro,
I'll just stick with
like
these
I
guys.
I see a lot of the rappers, they got a bunch of crews and a bunch of people and stuff like that, but also that builds jealousy, and it builds all kind of stuff like that. Like, yeah, I don't know the news right now. Kevin Hart, homie.
Okay, the comedian.
The comedian Kevin Hart.
What's going on with
his
him?
His main homie, he put him in movies, he put him in all kind of stuff, and Kevin Hart was in the whole thing with cheating on his wife or whatever scandal that had happened.
Right.
Come to find out, his homie was the one extorting him. His right-hand man was extorting
Selling his story.
Told him to give him $70 million or some stupid number of $1 million. And it was his homie. You know what I'm saying? So that's a big thing. And, like, I look at situations like that and people from the past who said, you know, just stick to yourself, bro. This stuff, you know, because you got a lot of friends around, you could bring jealousy, you could bring all kind of stuff with you. I saw Tupac, he used to roll with a bunch of people. And then if you look at his jail interview, he said, man, just stick to yourself. You know, he was like, bro, you just got to be one. I fucking was with all these people. The mistake I made was being with all these people. I seemed to stick to yourself, if I could tell you one thing. And that stuck with me.
And he's your guy, right?
Oh, yeah, Pac is the homie.
What did he teach you beyond just the music and the kind of lyrical skill that he had? Obviously, what was the real sort of connection that you had to his music and what he stood for?
It was just being a voice, man, a voice of the people, and not being scared to say anything. You know, when he did hit him up and he talked about Biggie, as a young person, I was just shocked that he said his name, then said his wife and name. I was like, bro, I didn't even know you could do that. I was like, I thought there was rules against these type of things. I was like, you're breaking all the rules.
Gentleman's code.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit, he fucking saying everything about this situation. So it's just more so he stuck to me as a person who said, man, just don't care, you know. Speak your mind. Speak your voice. Don't worry about the consequences or something, you know what I'm saying? If you, this is how you feel, let it out. Because the best way to live is to be free. You know what I'm saying? People think they free, but they not, because you still hold back on certain things. And I hold back on a lot of things, especially in this fucking politically correct, whatever you call the shit world we living in.
You know the band The Melvins?
Yeah. The Melvins, yeah.
I did an interview with their
Kurt
singer.
Kurt Cobain's favorite band, right?
They were the band that got the whole thing going, man, yeah. They have their drummer now is the original Nirvana drummer.
Oh, wow, insane.
But I interviewed Buzz, the singer, just before I came out to LA, and he was saying, like, Fuck people who tell other people what they can and can't say,
yeah,
think,
bro.
Feel. And I think that a lot of, and I often have a go at like the kind of the left wing, and I'm the most liberal person you could ever meet, but I have a problem with left wing people who tell other people that they can't say or do these things.
Certain things,
and it's like,
man,
that is the same as fascism.
Yeah,
that kind of control and that imposition of regulation and like collective guilt bullshit.
Yeah, you can't do that, bro. It's like one, you know, art form I respect a lot is stand-up comedy, because, you know,
it's the last free art form.
The last free art form. They don't have any music behind them.
Yeah,
they go on a stage with a microphone and just make you laugh, and you know that's tough.
And make
as
you
fuck.
Think as well. If
and
if
make
good.
You think. And, you know, that's hard to just sit up there with a mic, no beat to move the people or nothing, and they go do their thing. And now people trying to silence them. Like, Jerry Seinfeld was like, what the fuck? I can't go to college and say certain things. Like, what the fuck are you trying to silence me for, bro? This is comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't shut that down, you know, with all the politically correct whatever shit. You got to be able to speak your mind. And in this day and age, I respect anybody who speaks their mind freely and says what they feel. You know, you might have to get the backlash with it, but at the same time, I respect it.
I think you're going to get inevitable backlash, but if you can live with that, then I think that you should fucking just put yourself out there in that way.
Exactly.
Can we tease the working title for your album that you were going to call it?
Title.
Talking about political correctness, or would you rather hold that back? And
I'll hold that back.
You hold that back.
Now,
you don't just want to bust that out because you got
still
something there.
In working process.
Okay, let's move down to the next song on that set list of yours. So we go from, is it the Closed Casket
Locked
song next?
Already. Closed Casket. Fuck around. Put you inside a closed casket, you know what I'm saying? I'm just speaking about real shit. This is my feelings about I want to fuck you up. A lot of these fucking cops who killing black kids or whatever, you know, they killing fucking minorities and getting away with it, no justice. It's like, bro, if that was me or my family member, I've got to find that person and we gonna have to fucking fight. You know what I'm saying? And that's just my feeling toward that whole situation and these police doing what they do. And it's a scary thing when we can't walk around without, you know, feeling protected by the police. You know, it's a weird
thing. And it says on their car, serve and protect, or to serve and protect.
To serve and protect, you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
if you're white.
Yeah, if you're white. I mean, it's crazy, bro, because like, some of those situations, you mess with mine, my family, or something like that, bro, it's all day I'm going to be at you. Could care less about the consequences. In a situation, if my people didn't do anything wrong, you shoot them for no reason, oh, it should be like all kind of backlash from our community, from that community, whatever. It should be all kind of back. That person should be scared as fuck to walk the street on some shit. But a lot of these police kill somebody of another color, and they get money. You know, they get a GoFundMe to help them out and all kind of stuff like this. So this is the weird situation we in life. And we have to sit back and look at it like, well, yo, what's going on? So that's just my feelings. That's my hardcore feelings on some shit, bro. Like, don't fuck with me on no shit like that. Yeah.
It's mad because you think back to Rodney King, which is like, you know, almost 25 years ago now, or probably even more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we haven't progressed in so many ways. Like, if anything, we've regressed.
We ain't progressed or nothing like that. Because, I mean, we progressed in a sense where, you know, people's minds more woke.
Everybody's
woke up to it, and now we
can
see.
Which is the one good thing about the internet.
Yeah.
Is information is a lot more readily available
and
out there.
You know what I'm saying? Back then, it was just talking, like, they read the newspaper, be like, oh, wow, you know, maybe this happened, maybe it didn't. But now you're actually seeing video footage, you're seeing all these things like that. And so you can't deny it. You can make whatever excuses about it, but you can't deny it at the same time.
But these people are still being protected, aren't they?
They're still
being
protected.
Fucking allowed to get away with it.
Yeah, and but that's on us right there, because at the end of the day, like, I respect people protesting and everything like that, but we've been protesting for a long time. We might have to find a new way of going about it. And I'm not saying go in the streets and go fight and riot, but we need to find a certain situation where we can bring justice upon these people who commit these acts. You get what I'm saying?
I hear you, dude.
Yeah.
It's a standout song in the set. Like, it has that real guttural kind of punch. Like,
yeah,
I was sat just right there watching you, kind of like, this guy's saying some serious shit.
Oh, yeah,
I didn't hear all the words as well because I had those ear mufflers protecting my ears because I'm a little pussy.
Yeah,
but I could tell that there's something
going on.
Well, I
say, fuck the op, my weapon cocked, let off shots, bodies drop, you know, people shocked, the shit don't stop. Basically, like, bro, don't fuck with me on no shit like that. You mess with one of mine's, bro. And that's how all of us should be on that. Because yeah, they feel they can get away with it because we don't do nothing. A lot of them, you know, they kill somebody and they pay the family off or something like that. And they, oh, I got money now. So I'm, you know, okay, I forgive the cop or whatever. No, fuck all the forgiving of the cop. Fuck the money. It's a bigger problem than that. You know what I'm saying? So we got to handle that. Any, you know, we got to figure out a way we can handle it violently. It's probably not the way people would want to go about it. You know, I speak wild with it in my stuff. Non-violently is the best way to go about it. And we have to find a way to get justice in a certain way within the system and within the laws of society, you know?
I think when you speak about issues like that with aggression and with vivid, violent language, it obviously highlights the issue and hammers home the message a lot stronger, doesn't it? And
oh,
I think
yeah,
that
hell
when
yeah,
you think
man.
About historically, the acts that have really hit home with that, from NWA to, you know, there's a lot to be said for powerful, violent imagery
in
music. Because if
it's
people
just
are
your emotion and how you feel, you know what I'm saying? That's why I don't...
Unfiltered.
Yeah, unfiltered. I don't knock rappers for speaking stuff, and they're not going to go out and kill somebody. They're not going to go out and do that shit. But it's emotion you feel at the time for whatever situation, you know what I'm saying? And the best way to go about it is to speak it, then go actually do that.
Get it off your chest
and
creatively,
get it off
yeah.
your chest, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, especially dealing with a lot of the injustice going on, we have to be smart about it. Because
mm-hmm.
we can't be on some, oh, we need to go riot and go do this. Because you see these protests, bro, they so smart. They send somebody to let off a gunshot to start a riot and say, oh, look how these people act.
That's what they want
yeah,
to happen in
they
many
want
ways,
it to
I think.
Happen so you can
so
be,
they can go, let's criminalize yeah. these people even more.
Exactly. So that's why you have to be as smart as them. They 10 steps ahead of us on a lot of things, man. So we have to come together as people, unify, and, you know, find a way where we can just live properly and live in society, you know, the cool way.
I dig that.
Yeah.
And coming together is
all
the key
about
word.
Love.
There. It is, right? It is. It's coming together.
Make
it's
love,
unity.
Not war.
Next song on the album, on the set list, we go down next to. There's two left, right? There's Bullet is the last one. Is Live Your Life after Closed Casket? Or is there one more before that?
Oh, Live Your Life is after Closed Casket.
That's my other jam. That is for me. That's like Bad Brains PMA shit. That's real. Like,
thank you for that, bro. Yeah, Live Your Life, bro. I'm speaking about just how we've turned into zombies from these cell phones and this Instagram and everything, bro. And people,
opening line is?
Yeah, fucking addicted. That one you talking about?
No, the opening line when you go, we got to fill ourselves with...
Oh, mother man, bro, this drink got me.
Insta gratification.
I say, you fucking...
It's the opening line.
What
I was
the
like,
hell?
Insta gratification, that
no,
is fucking
say,
beautiful. What do you say?
YOLO generation need instant gratification.
Now, that's amazing.
Dopamine fiends addicted to the sensation. You know what I'm saying? So it's
sharing highlights of our life or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, man, posting highlights of our lives. Hiding imperfections we constantly put on a disguise. You see, that's why I be rapping, because I can say things better when I rap than me talking the shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't talk like that. But when I'm rapping, I can talk like that.
Well, that's the beauty of hip-hop, isn't it? Is it's a heightened form of expression. Like, very few people, I think, in the world talk like that.
Yeah, bro, I fucking just listen to myself.
Have you ever
and
met
I'm like,
anyone who talks like a rapper in day-to-day
right
life?
Wow, fuck no. I'm fucking no ego, but that was some poetic-ass shit
is.
I said.
And it's
God
so
damn.
On fucking point with what's going on with
yeah,
the world
man.
With I mean, mental health is a key thing. I think people
hell
make
yeah.
themselves sick.
Well, I know
because
how
they
I feel, man.
Look
you
at everyone
at...
else, don't they, and they go, oh, their life's better than mine.
That's
I'm
exactly.
incomplete. And
yeah.
it's like, but you ain't seeing the truth. You're not seeing what's going on behind the highlights
yeah,
that they let you see.
Highlights of your life. Like, you can get caught up in that, bro. Like, you
big
see
time.
Motherfuckers partying and doing, he's like, oh shit, I'm fucking on the toilet.
Yeah,
I ain't partying right now. And it'll fuck you up on the inside and shit like that. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there. It's just, like I said, these are just thoughts of mine
yeah,
that
yeah.
I put on record. And we almost turn into a zombie generation. We just following and we, you know, just zoned out on everything. And
but
so
what
it's
a beautiful
like,
message.
Up.
Live your life.
Yeah,
live
your
life.
Life. Don't be trying to live Kim Kardashian life. And
definitely don't
yeah,
be trying to live
don't be
Kim
trying
Kardashian
to live all
life.
These other people's
Have you
lives?
Seen this thing on the news, dude? I watched this earlier on, like a clip, and some guy who's connected to the Kardashians in some way has designed these new fucking chicken wings that are coated in like 100 carat gold.
Oh, shit.
What is the fucking...
You eat the chicken wings that's coated?
With people fucking dying of starvation in the countries that really need our help. Why is there any place in this world for... however many carats it is, gold coated fucking chicken wings.
That's
like
fucking stupid.
That's when stupidity is won. Yeah. Isn't it?
Bro,
I mean, it's kind of funny.
No,
but...
I remember they had like gold burgers that cost like fucking $2,000-$3,000 or some shit like that. So yeah, I know they did. It's just insane. It's just stupid. And all you're gonna do is take an Instagram picture.
Exactly.
It, and that's about it. Yeah. And, oh wow, and you ate a gold burger. Up.
Bing, bing, bing. Yeah. It's a crazy world, and I think that it's important.
Don't be mad at me if you see me with the gold chicken.
I won't
eating it.
I could kind of see as soon as I mentioned that you're like, that is dumb,
that
you piqued my interest.
Kinda good. I ain't gonna lie. Nah, I ain't gonna eat the gold chicken.
But you know what, dude? It's important to have fun and a sense of humor and to be true to you. And
yeah,
I think that if you have a political message in your music, and I'm not saying that you are necessarily a political artist,
would
you say that you are? Probably
not really,
more
man.
A social commentator.
Yeah, I'm
right?
more a social commentator, yeah, because yeah, I don't do the whole politics thing. If you ask me about fucking different politic thing, I don't fucking
know. I wouldn't know what questions to ask
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
well,
I'd be like, bro, I don't
social,
like,
spiritual, yeah, soulful, but that, political, no.
Yeah,
but
I don't like none of them.
I think if you're a, let's say, a commentator of any kind,
yeah,
a lot of people can get caught up in the message and they can not enjoy their own life and they can become quite serious and stern and condescending and in some ways hypocritical. And I think it is important,
yeah,
if a side of you appeals to that party song or gold chicken wings,
exactly,
then you indulge it and you be true to you and you make no apology for that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Have well, fun with it.
That's why exactly we say live your fucking life. Do you do you? Like I said, that's why I never really want people to think, oh, Hiro's the political man when you hear my music and this and that. It's more like, bro, I'm letting you know how I feel, and I feel we can do this as a people. We get caught up in having a leader, especially the black community. We always want a leader, somebody to lead us, and it's like, bro, we need to just come together on as one and handle these things, you know what I'm saying? We don't need one person to be that leader. Like, we look at Tupac as a leader. We look at Malcolm X as a leader. We look at Martin Luther King as a leader. And look what happened to them. Because when they take that leader off, then everybody just, you know, it falls off.
Like a stack of cards, right?
Yeah.
The house crumbles.
The house crumbles.
Yeah.
So we need to figure out how we can do this thing where we just all on the same page, the same mindset. You know what I'm saying? We have to have a code that we can just abide by, and everybody goes by this, and you know, then I think we can reach farther and not have these situations we have going on.
That's the dream, right?
That's the dream.
Work towards a better world.
Yeah, that's the dream. You know, I ain't gonna know if it'll happen just like that overnight, but that's the dream. You know what I'm saying? These kids nowadays, they, you know, like I'm saying, this, they woke. That's the hashtag woke or whatever, stuff like this. So they actually interested in knowing more and, you know, seeing things. And I'm seeing that more than I'm seeing just dancing and foolishness and stupid stuff, though I'm at least seeing them have a conversation about real topics and stuff like that. Like, you know, when something happens on the news, they write on it. They know what's up, this and that, whether conspiracy, whether whatever, they still talking about it. But at the same time, we also have to see that the game that's ran on us is they give us stories and we just get emotional real quick
and
about
distracted.
It. And distracted. So it's a, you know, it's two sides to it all. So that, bro, whoever running this motherfucker is smart as a mug. You know what
it's
I'm saying?
It's the lizards, isn't it?
The lizards, it's the that's basically what I'm trying to get to, is the reptilians are running this motherfucker. And I look at YouTube videos and they blink. You got to watch the blink out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's audio. No one can see that. I'm trying really hard not to blink.
It's a certain blink they do. Nah, just fuck around. But
it's important to have a critical eye, isn't it? And it's important to not take everything that you read or see at face value and just condemn straight away without thought and without analysis. That corona's hitting me now.
Situation. Yeah, man.
Them tall cans, man. I'm not used to them.
Peace.
So the last song on the album is going to be the lead-off single, and the reason we got talking about that before is I'm hoping to interview my all-time hero, who I'm not going to mention because I don't want to jinx it, but he used to be very tight with your probably all-time hero, and they made a film together called Bullet, so if you know anything about movies and hip-hop culture, you might have guessed who my guy is, but yeah, that film Bullet obviously is, well, the inspiration, it's not. your debut single and the album kind of, would it be the album closer as well, or is it just that set closer for now?
Nah, bro, most, it might be
you, have you got your have you got your track album. Listing down and done?
Yeah, I got all that down.
Yeah, bro. Artwork?
Yeah, artwork, working on it, yeah. I'm feel comfortable with one of the artworks right now. It's dope as fuck.
Nice.
And so, yeah, this song.
So this is going to lead off the album, lead off the whole fucking thing, Bullet.
Yeah, bro, and the message is so damn strong, bro, that, you know, I feel like that's everything that I always wanted to get off my chest about what's going on right now, and I'm kind of speaking on the whole, you know, protest thing and all of that, because like I said, fuck a picket sign or a protest, feeling of unrest has got a nigga upset, because I'm upset at the situation, like we done did that, we gotta find a new way about this shit. And it's either anger, what the hell ever, but we're going to have to find a way up out of this shit. So Bullet is basically speaking that real shit, giving a bullet to motherfuckers, either lyrically, you know what I'm saying, whatever, creatively, whatever your bullet is shoot that motherfucker, you know what I'm saying, and let's get this thing going.
It's funny for me, because if you'd have thought about how in this world, because you're signed to Sony, right? Sony's releasing the album. The fact that they wanted to go with this as the lead single, a song called Bullet.
I would have thought about that.
A major label would have been like, you got a song called Bullet? There's no way that's going to be a single. It's too violent. It's too graphic. Yeah. But they're like, no, that's the one.
Yeah,
that's a good sign.
Bro, like my label's so dope. Who I'm with, bro, they believe in me, man. I gave them ideas. They roll with it. You know what I'm saying? They dig my vibe. And bro, like, that song right there was the one everybody's just like, oh, snap, man.
All over it right away. And you've shot a video already, right?
Yeah, got the video done, waiting on the last cut of it.
Nice.
It's fire, bro.
Where'd you shoot it?
It's different. Shot it in H-Town, Houston, Texas. Shot it, got my homies came through.
Awesome.
Everybody came down and just gave it a... I'm just bringing something new to rock and roll. I'm bringing the hood to rock and roll. You know what I'm saying? Almost shot it like a rap video.
Yeah, yeah.
And did that. So people go, it's just something people never seen before. Somebody like me, shirt off, chain, grill.
Screaming. Zach to the Russian in it.
Yeah, bro. So that's, I just wanted to bring something brand new to people. And I think they're going to eat it up. Especially, it's not even just the style of it. It's the words that's being said. It's the feeling behind it and everything.
Dude. Yeah. Congratulations, man. And like, it's not easy. Life's tough, and this industry is tough. And if people didn't have your perseverance, your dedication,
man,
your self-belief,
you,
they would have thrown in the towel, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
they would have gone, I gave it a good shot. It didn't work out. Cool. I'll go and do something else now. But you've fucking stuck at it. You've persevered. And not only have you come back and are coming back this year with this new album, but it's stronger. It's better.
It's harder. Yeah.
It's more relatable and I think actually digestible as well. Although it's a fucking nasty, like pretty aggressive sounds. Like I think what you're singing about, the way you're presenting it, people are really going to connect to it.
Yeah, bro.
From both sides of the pond, from the rock and the hip hop.
I feel like it's everything.
Fuck genre, anyway.
Through, bro, just
does it feel like that? Like your life on fucking tape?
Yeah, it really does feel like that. My life on tape. Because when I listen to it and I see the emails I get and setting up for it coming out, bro, I'm just like, fuck, I really worked myself back to this, bro. This is crazy. Because I was lost. I was like, damn, I didn't know what to do after my last one. And I was lost. I was like, man, you back in this motherfucker somehow, some way, bro. And I got that, bro. And I can't wait for the people to hear this.
And you're amped. You're ready.
Yeah,
I bet you can't wait to crush some live shows as well.
Oh, live shows going to be out of control, bro.
So you've got one announced and out there in the public domain, which is Aftershock Festival
Aftershock
in the States.
Festival, yeah.
If anybody is listening from US of A, you can go check Hyro out there with the full band, of course. And that's going to be everywhere you go. It's going to be you and the full band in it. That's the format.
Oh, yeah,
that's
got
the setup.
Full band, yeah.
As far as the UK goes, nothing is locked in yet, is it? But as soon as it is, you're going to let me know.
You damn right, I'll let you know, man.
And I'll get the word out there.
I can't wait to get out there, bro, with all the homies, all my people's cheers.
We're ready for you. We'll have a night out in Birmingham.
Hell yeah,
and probably a night out in London too. Hyro.
Yeah, bro.
Absolute pleasure catching up, dude.
Hey, for sure.
To you.